The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Total Cereal. All six flavors provide 100% daily value of at least 11 essential vitamins and minerals. Total, 100% nutrition.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm out there this last week. It's been rather dry as well. A lot of pollen, big seed clusters coming down out of trees that kind of look like caterpillars. So everybody with allergies has been sneezing up a storm this last week. Some people refuse to take antihistamines because they read that there's a chemical in antihistamines that makes you dull. And of course, you wouldn't tell these people that they weren't that scintillating to begin with and that couldn't harm them. Sweet corn planting season in Lake Wobegon. You want to set them in a few rows spaced about a week apart so they come in over the whole breadth of August and on into September. Fishing, people out fishing on the lake, which is kind of a dark blue-gray color, the water this time of year. Carl Krebsbach was out fishing with his brother-in-law Lyle and his brother Bob and David Diener were out in a boat for the fishing opener last weekend. They were out there, and Carl Krebsbach caught four walleyes, just one, two, three, four, all about a pound, pound and a half, all keepers, put them on a stringer. Others didn't have a bite, just four men sitting there in a boat, three men watching one man fish. What can you say? And then he caught two more, so now he had his limit. And he kept fishing, but he kept throwing back the ones that he caught, and nobody else was catching any. They might as well have been sitting on the living room floor with just a string, you know, tied to the leg of the coffee table and just tug on that a little bit for all that they were doing. Carl Krebsbach sitting. Then finally he stopped fishing. He put away his, reeled in his line, put away his pole, and he pulled out a book, which he had in his tackle box, a book called How to Make Your Marriage Work for You. He sat there leaning back in the bow of the boat. All the people sitting there looking at their lines, which just hung down into the dark blue-gray water. Finally, David Diener, who's been divorced twice, said, "Interesting book." "Yeah," Carl said. "It says that there are three kinds of marriages. There's the conflict avoidance marriage, and there's the validation marriage, or validating marriage, and then there's the volatile marriage." They fished for a while. Conversation in a boat has a different sort of a cadence than it would have if you were sitting in your car or if you're walking down the street. You don't want to use up all your conversation at once. Finally, David Diener said, "Well, what kind of marriage do you have?" Carl looked at him. He said, "Volatile." Well, they thought about that for a while. You don't want to talk about your marriage while you're fishing. You might scare the fish. So they just let that sit for a while, sat in the boat. It's been dry, as I say, it's been dry. People are worried about that, what effect. Now, during the planting season, it's a worrisome time to not get any rain. Butterflies are out, though, and that's always a good sign, and dragonflies as well, and the wood ticks are plentiful. So insect life is booming along. Somewhere in the woods, there's a wood tick waiting for you if you should go into the woods, which of course you would. Why would you not? Waiting for you, and she'll hitch a ride on your trousers, and she'll find a place maybe up behind your ear or up in your hair or someplace where the moon does not shine, and you'll carry her around and you'll feed her for a while. It's a part of summer life, at least out in the rural parts of our country. They say that there is a chemical that a wood tick releases when it is fastened onto you. It's an anti-libido toxin. Which makes perfect sense as a kind of a Darwinian self-protection device, you know. I mean, if you were to take off all of your clothes, then it would be easier to detect the wood tick. And so the wood tick releases this anti-libido toxin in you. And I don't know how we should feel about that. Thankful or what? Not sure. So young people go out to the woods with the idea of having sex, and they spend a lot of time looking around for just the right sort of place, you know, to where they can be private and a beautiful place. And in the course of it, they pick up a passenger, and they sit down and they wind up sitting there under a tree talking about Thoreau, which is entirely different, of course. Thoreau went out into the woods a lot, and he probably picked up a lot of wood ticks. You can look through Thoreau's journals, and you will find no mention of paternity or the thought of paternity or fatherhood. Not much mention of women, really, in any sort of interesting way. Same with Emily Dickinson. She must have had a wood tick one time. And she was back, you know, in that era where women wore those complicated dresses with all those petticoats. So it would take days, you know, to look for a wood tick if you could bring yourself to do that back in that decorous time. She probably picked it up when she was out in the woods. She went out with Thoreau once in the woods. She was very young, she was very attractive, and they were in his canoe, and they were paddling across the pond, and they were going over to his cabin, and they wound up sitting under a tree talking about Thoreau was all that they did. So you young people, you see, you are descended from city people who did not go out into the woods. This is what led to you. Maybe they went for a walk around Lake Nokomis, but they stayed on the sidewalk. So they went back to the apartment, and they were wild about each other. That's who you come from. You come from people who couldn't keep their hands off each other. They went back to this apartment, and that's where you come from, especially if you were the firstborn child. If you were the fifth or sixth child, you may have been the child of habit, but if there hadn't been wood ticks, you might have been the fifth out of 24, you see. So there you are. This is the reason why rural America is dwindling, you see. And urban America is growing and growing and growing. The suburbs are growing because the suburbs are boring, and you're looking for entertainment. Where do you go? There's mainly one direction you go in. Is this not the case? Whereas the farm is a fascinating place, and a man could get engrossed in any number of things. You take a motor apart, and you get interested in it, and you got all the parts arranged there on this tarp, there on the in the shed on the floor, and you're working on it for a while, and suddenly you smell lilacs, and you look up, and here she is. She's walking towards you, and she has lipstick on, and she has her purse, and you say, "Where are you going, darling?" She says, "I'm going into town." "Oh," you say, "oh, okay." She says, "What are you doing?" "I'm trying to fix this engine here." "Oh, well, how long are you going to be in town, darling?" "Well, I don't know." "How long are you going to be working on that engine?" "Well, I'm going to work on it until I get it fixed." "Well," she says, "that's how long I'll be in town." So she goes off to town. She gets engrossed in it. See, that's the reason our country is changing. It's because of wood ticks. It's because not as many people are going out into the woods. Now we have a dry summer like this, and people start to worry about forest fires and prairie fires. I grew up at a time when there were wild fires in the woods, and it was like the last days. You felt it was the apocalypse. But these fires burned off the wood ticks, you see. And after the fire came through, then this other fire, you know, came through. And people started disappearing out into wooded places. And so they had to bring in an evangelist to have a revival service. And he stood in front of us and preached to us about everlasting fire. And he drew this very clear choice. Either you could choose delight now and then have everlasting torment, or you could postpone now and have everlasting delight. A clear choice. Clearer, however, in the abstract than when you get up close to the situation, as so much of life is it not? Well, Lyle gave Carl a ride back when they were all done fishing. He said, "You think of your marriage as volatile." "Yeah," Carl said. "I tell you, all the things that I used to think I knew about life, I don't know if I think those anymore. I knew more about life when I was 13 years old, and nowadays I find it overwhelming. Sometimes I find it hard to be around people. It just makes me too emotional somehow." Well, men don't usually talk about feelings, and thank goodness it's not a long drive from the lake to Lyle's house. So before they could get into that too deeply, they pulled into his driveway, and there were the women, and so there's no more talking about that. And so they just cleaned the fish and filleted them, and they got the coals heated up to cook them, and they had walleye for supper. Though people do say that if you eat a lot of walleye, you're going to be more emotional if you do. That's what people say. I do know that this dry weather means that all of the sweet corn is going to come in at once. You see, you planted a few rows at a time, and then a week later, you plant another few rows. But in this dry weather, the seeds in the ground remain dormant until it rains, and then they'll all germinate. And so no matter what plans we make to spread out sweet corn over a period of time, it's all going to come in at one time in early August. We're going to be overwhelmed with sweet corn. Sweet corn is an emotional food. When you eat it picked fresh from the field, you're just full of feelings. You just sit and you weep. You just turn inside out. So we got that to look forward to in August. A volatile time. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.